Can a narcissist change? Is it possible? Does it happen? We're talking about something kind of controversial. Narcissists who have been cured. I know, you're going, what? Narcissists can be cured? Is there such a thing? Dr. David Hawkins is a psychotherapist who has said, I can change a narcissist. I have cured a narcissist. And I've talked about him before on this channel a couple of different times. The first time when a viewer came to me and said, hey, have you heard about this guy? What do you think about what he has to say? So the first step that I hear him talking about is he thinks that if a narcissist has an appropriate breakdown, they could feasibly come out of it and behave properly. There's some truth to that. He gives an example in a video. He says that he has a client, and this client was in his care getting therapy because his wife left him. Dr. Hawkins worked with this client to help him have the breakdown, which occurred because of the fact that his wife left him. Dr. Hawkins goes on to say that he helped him work through all his little issues and help him learn how to process emotions correctly. And now he says this couple is enjoying the relationship better than they ever have before, something of that nature. So what it comes down to is I would like to know how those people are doing in 6 months. I'd like to know how they're doing in a year. Because what I have seen is that when a narcissist changes, they will change. Absolutely, they'll change if they are threatened or if something that they want is going to be taken away from them, such as maybe their primary source of supply, and depending on the narcissist. But what happens is the change is temporary almost every time. I've never personally seen a narcissist permanently change, and I've not been able to find a lot of other people who agree that you can permanently help a narcissist change or heal from narcissism. Dr. Hawkins argues that change is only likely to occur in these cases if they really do think they're going to lose something, if what they stand to lose is greater than what they have to give to change.
I don't know about Dr. David Hawkins, and if somebody has full-blown narcissistic personality disorder, I'm fairly traditional in a lot of my approaches, and that is one of them, which is no, my understanding of the mechanics of the disorder are such that if they have that rare diagnosis, they will, as an intrinsic element of narcissistic personality disorder, they kind of have to reject therapy. They have to reject help from the outside and help within their most intimate and vulnerable spaces.
So what it comes down to with Dr. Hawkins, in my opinion, is that he's teaching behavior modification, and narcissists who are afraid they're going to lose someone or who are trying to get back a valued source of supply might temporarily change their behavior thanks to behavior modification and extensive therapy. Now, with that being said, according to what I heard from the videos that I watched of Dr. Hawkins, as well as from several clients of his who reached out to me after these videos were done, it does require the person to maintain and stay in therapy as long as they are going forward. And even those who said, yes, I was helped, my husband was helped, my wife was helped by this person, which I think, to be honest with you, I think he only works with male narcissists, then even those people said, now it only happens once a month or once a week or whatever. So it still goes on. It does not change. And any change that does come is a result of behavior modification, not true, deep, intrinsic change.
Cure is a pretty strong word to use in this context. I mean, it would be remarkable, not least because if we come at it from another angle in terms of psychoanalysis and psychotherapeutic practice, we know and we accept that childhood trauma is very, very hard to deal with. Basically, to say I can cure narcissism is to say I can cure deep, long-term, deep-seated childhood trauma, its effects. And if that were true, he would have done something truly remarkable. And if that were true, and he had uncovered such a methodology, why would he be focusing on narcissistic predators instead of on everybody else who suffered childhood trauma? So it seems like a spurious claim that's guaranteed to do its own marketing for you. I would be very suspicious of anybody claiming that.
So the question now is, can a narcissist change? Is it possible for a narcissist to change? They don't change. Can they? Sure. Yeah. It's possible. And in my opinion, what that would take is they would need to identify and overcome their core wound, heal it, dig deep down and find out exactly what it is that's stopping them from being a normal, healthy person, what it is that's stopping them from having empathy for other people, and then heal that problem and then learn empathy again as though they were small children. You will never see a narcissist do this, in my opinion. And from my research, anybody that I have found who actually claims a narcissist has changed, inevitably what it all boils down to is that person has been taught how to deal with a narcissist. Narcissists might have certain behavior modifications in place, but in general, what it comes down to is that the person claiming a narcissist has changed has literally changed themselves and the way they deal with the narcissist. I have not ever heard of a single narcissist successfully changing.
I mean, I've had there's people on the internet who've claimed it, but people on the internet claim all kinds of things.
It is my belief that narcissists have one quality in common with one another, and that is the lack of empathy. Regardless of the type of narcissist, regardless of the way their life looks, regardless of their personality, it all comes down to the one factor: they all lack empathy. Well, a 2014 study agrees that narcissists, whether they are clinical or subclinical, lack empathy. But the study wanted to find out, is it possible to teach a narcissist empathy? So the study was done by Erica Hepper, Claire Hart, and Konstantin Tsedekidis. I'm not sure I'm saying that one right. Anyway, and it was published in the Personality and Psychology Bulletin. It suggests that potentially the narcissist can learn empathy. Sort of. And like many other narcissism studies, the first thing they did was they had all the participants fill out basically the narcissistic personality inventory to see which ones were on the scale of narcissism, which ones were subclinical, and which ones were not narcissists. Once this was done, they asked each participant to watch a video related to domestic violence. And some of the participants were given instructions to imagine how the people in the video might feel, while others were given no instructions at all. Now, here's what's interesting about this. When they did watch the video, when they reviewed the participants' reaction, those who scored high in narcissism, when they were not given instruction, did not have any empathy for the people in the video. They just watched the video. But then those who didn't show narcissism in their personalities of the toxic nature, they had empathy without instruction. Now, on the flip side of this, and here's where it gets interesting, when the narcissists were given instructions on being able to give feedback on how the people felt in the video, they showed similar levels of empathy to those who are not narcissists when given instruction to think about how the participants in the video felt or the people in the video. They did another section of this study where they had the participants watch a video of a couple breaking up. Of course, the non-narcissists, they showed empathy in both cases, whether or not they were given instructions to think about how the participants felt. But in the part of the study where narcissists were involved, this is interesting, those who were not given instructions, their heart rates did not increase while they watched people breaking up in the video. Those who were asked to think about how the people in the video felt, their heart rate increased. Very much like an empath or a non-narcissist would. So what did this study figure out, and how does this have to do with anything? Well, the study determined that narcissists could display empathy when instructed to do so by being told to think about how other people felt. Basically, if a narcissist is told or instructed to take another person's perspective, they can have empathy. And they further determined that if that narcissist would choose to have empathy for another person, say a spouse who is about to leave them or something like that, then they could employ empathy. So it's not that they don't necessarily have the ability to have empathy, it's that it doesn't come naturally to them. So the idea is that if for some reason they need or feel they need to take someone else's perspective and develop empathy, it's possible. But because they don't naturally do it, most narcissists won't do it. Does this mean that we can teach our narcissists how to have empathy and be better spouses and relatives and friends to us? I don't think so. And here's why. When a narcissist is caught up in their own emotions, when they believe things are XYZ a certain way, generally what happens is that they are far less capable of trying to think about how anyone else feels. They're wrapped up in their own emotions. I don't believe that we're going to be able to fix the narcissists of today for the most part. However, if you have children, if you have been involved with a narcissist, here's something you can do to prevent it from continuing in your bloodline. And that is to stop the cycle right here by starting to teach your children empathy. Ask your children to tell you, how does it feel when you watch this happen? You know, how does the person on TV feel? How does the dog feel? Whatever it is that they're doing or whatever it is they're watching, always ask them to tell you about the emotions of the other people or animals or whatever. And the reason I say this is because children are forming new neural pathways every single day. And so if you teach them to always think about what other people are feeling, you can prevent your child from essentially becoming a narcissist in many cases. What do you think about that? Here's something a little extra from that study that I found very interesting. And that was that most narcissists actually believe that they understand people better than everyone else. They actually think that they have more ability to display empathy than other people. I guess that's part of the grand delusion. Yes, I said delusion. A study done a year later in 2015 indicates that
Most narcissists actually have a lack of empathy because of a neural condition, a neural deficiency in empathy. And of course, this is despite the fact that they almost always overestimate their emotional ability. A new study coming out of Germany that suggests that while people tend to get lower on the Machiavellianism scale as they get older, their levels of narcissism don't change.
So in psychology, Machiavellianism refers to a personality trait where the person is so focused on their own interests and their own selves that they have zero concern about manipulating, deceiving, exploiting other people to achieve their goals. And yes, this is one of the traits that is in what is called the dark triad, of course, the other two being narcissism and psychopathy. Now, what is narcissistic personality disorder? Let's talk about that. So we know that narcissism is a term used to describe a preoccupation with oneself, and that it includes that same preoccupation with what someone wants, needs, and desires. It's self-admiration on an extreme level, but it also includes a big need to be admired by other people. And I would add a marked lack of empathy.
So digging into this study author Michael Gross said that narcissism was especially interesting to him because of the dynamic and because of the fact that it's kind of a multifaceted personality disorder. Because narcissistic people, for example, can be very charismatic on one hand, very entertaining and exciting, and then they can also be super antisocial on the other hand. And of course, as we all know very well, the study suggested that narcissistic people don't really show their hidden side to people until they get to know them, and the initial like charm and charisma will fade away. So we're going to dig into this study. Take a look.
So the researchers pulled together just over 7,500 high school graduates who were participating in an ongoing study. They surveyed these students regarding their education, their life events, their personalities, and a few other factors every 2 years between the ages of 19 and 30. Some interesting findings, though. They said, for one thing, the average level of narcissistic admiration, which is, of course, just a dimension of grandiose narcissism, pretty much stayed the same between the ages of 20 and 30. But in general, the average level of Machiavellianism did decrease between those ages, 20 and 30. Now, they said maybe that's not that big of a deal, but it laid the groundwork for them to really work on a bunch of different developmental theories, as well as for future research on narcissism and other cluster B personality types. They also noted that these findings were especially strong because they were based on a really simple analysis that only had a few assumptions, and because there were large samples of high school graduates in the study. They noted that certain life events were linked to positive and negative changes in the narcissists and the Machiavellianists. Is that a word? Anyway, for example, they said that they found out that the Machiavellianism only decreased with early adults who actually started a job and thought it was a good thing. They experienced it as a positive event. Those who didn't start a job or who didn't think that the starting of the job was a good thing, they thought it was negative, those did not see a decrease in Machiavellianism. Of course, their conclusion was that people who get a job they like in early adulthood could mitigate Machiavellianism. They also noticed that changes in their sleeping habits, eating habits, or changing to another university or apprenticeship, and the end of a romantic relationship, all of those things appeared to be related to increases in narcissistic admiration, but only if those things were seen as a good thing, as a positive event. On the other hand, they noticed that if someone experienced a failure on an important exam, and thought of it as a negative thing, they also increased their narcissistic admiration, which again is part of the grandiosity thing. With all of that being said, they said you can't really make a bunch of claims based on this. They said that in order to legitimize it, you know, they would have to do more research with a different statistical analysis. And they also noted that the life events were simply exploratory and that they didn't do this with a hypothesis in mind. So basically, they say that it just needs to be confirmed by further research. So I think this is a really interesting study, and I think it kind of asks us to look at the aging narcissist a little deeper. I'm really curious as to what you think about this study.
So this brings me to the question of the day. Question of the day! And the question of the day is, what do you think about all of this? Do you think a person's life events have anything to do with their level of narcissism or toxicity? Share your thoughts, share your ideas, share your experiences in the comment section below, and let's talk about it. I can't wait to hear what you think about this one. As always, thank you so much for being a part of my day and a part of my life. And hey, thanks for letting me be a part of yours. It really does mean a lot to me. Now, before I go, make sure you take a look at the videos I'm leaving for you right there and right there. And while you're here, hit that subscribe button right down there. I'll see you soon.